Good morning, wonderful church. Thanks for that response. Well, I will say that it looks easier from there than from here. So kudos to Pastor Barry and Pastor Kim and anyone else who has spoken here. It's not easy. But I will give it my best with the Lord's help. And I know that God has a beautiful word for all of you today. Once again, my name is Martin. The second name is pronounced Mbogwa. Mbogwa. If you butcher it, as I always say, I will not take it personally. Just don't also take it personally if I don't pronounce your names correctly. We're all from different places, but one thing I love is that we are here serving the same God. So I know we've been covering the series of Knowing God, A Journey with Moses, just trying to understand more of God by looking through Moses' life. And I was given the passage of Exodus chapter 17, verse 8 to 16. So before we read that scripture, I just want to tell you one thing, that the word of God is a beautiful piece. God's word is powerful. And I pray for all of you, whether you're in here or whether you're in your bedroom or in your house reading God's word, it has the power to change your life. So even as we read this scripture, I just want us to go with that mindset. God is speaking. It's not me speaking. I'm just here to do something else, but God is the one speaking through his word, and may we be ready to listen. So I've seen us standing up to read God's word. I like that. I would like us to do that just to show God respect and say, hey, God, we love you and we want your word with us today. So as we stand up, they can put Exodus chapter 17. Oh, yeah, that's small. Sorry about that. Yeah, that's better. Thanks, media people. All right, let's start. In Exodus 17, verse 8. So the Exodus 17, chapter 8, yeah. So verse 8 says, the Amalekites came and attacked, or we can read together, let's read together. The Amalekites came and attacked the Israelites at Rephidim. Moses said to Joshua, choose some of our men and go out fight the Amalekites. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the staff of God in my hands. So Joshua fought the Amalekites as Moses had ordered. And Moses and Aaron and Hur went to the top of the hill. As Moses held up his hands, the Israelites were winning. But whenever he lowered his hands, the Amalekites were winning. When Moses' hands grew tired, they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. Aaron and Hur held his hands up, one on one side, one on the other, so that his hands remained steady till sunset. So Joshua overcame the Amalekite army with a sword. Then the Lord said to Moses, write this on a scroll as something to be remembered, and make sure that Joshua hears it, because I will completely blot out the name of Amalek from under him. Moses built an altar and called it, the Lord is my banner. He said, because hands were lifted up against the throne of the Lord will be at war against the Amalekites from generation to generation. Amen. You may have your seat. Thanks for that. So in Exodus chapter 17, verse 8 to 16, it's a very short piece, but I believe it's one of the most fantastic stories of prayer and intercession that we see God showing. And it simply goes like this. The Amalekites, who are one of Israel's enemies, show up into the scene. Moses, being the leader of Israel, gives an instruction. Joshua, you go fight, and I'm going to go to the top of the hill and raise the staff of God in my hands. Joshua does as he's instructed. Moses goes up to the hill, but he goes up with Aaron and Hur. Now, when Moses goes, something fantastic happens. As you know, as we've been following Moses' stories, miracles are following this man. God is using him, and this was no exception. So he lifts up his hands, and there's victory. But this is a different kind of victory. It's a victory that's ongoing. It's a victory that God is saying, hey, wait a minute, Moses. You're lifting your hands up to me, but you're going to have to keep lifting your hands up to me. So Moses is like, okay. He doesn't say that, but I'm just inferring from one scripture. Moses is like, let's go, God. Woo! So I'm guessing they started at maybe more than the moment the sun broke out. So this is like a battle from the morning. So I'm picturing around 10, 9, 10, 11. Moses is like, whoo, yeah, I love this story. God's giving. And he's seen it. It's not a story of I'm trusting God to see something. He's seen a victory. Joshua is winning. But then he gets tired. Maybe he fumbles this the stuff. He's like, oh, snap. Then he's like, oh, man, they just won that section, and they're back again. Oh, back hands up again. And I believe it was going on like that for a while. But I love what the scripture then goes on to say, that Moses' hands grew tired. His hands actually grew tired. And I was reading that story, and I was like, this is Moses. Moses is like a superhero for me, man. He's like a superhero in the Bible. Who's separated a Red Sea? Who's ever separated a sea? Only Moses has, by the power of God. But this is a servant of God saying his hands grew tired. But then the funny stuff is his friends, he went with his, I think I call them his boys. Maybe they were his boys. He went up with Aaron because Aaron was his brother. And who was his, I believe, I tried to read it, was like he was related to him somehow. So these are people who know Moses. So they bring him a stone. He sits on it. They then come very close to him, like very close, and they hold his hands. And the Bible says Moses' hands were steady until sunset. And as I read this through the scripture, it really spoke to me. And then at verse 14 and from 14 to 16, God shows up after the battle. Joshua wins, God shows up. God comes, now he's been winning. God has been helping them win, but now God comes to speak. It's like a debrief moment. And God says, you know what? Write this down and make sure that Joshua hears it. I will blot out the name of Amalek from under heaven. And the famous saying that Moses, that we all know, Jehovah Nissi, Moses comes up with that, the Lord is my banner. For we hands are raised, lifted up to the Lord, and the war will fight to generations against the Amalekites. And as I was reading, I was asked to speak about this. I went and I asked God, okay, God, what do you want me to teach about this scripture? And I really want to say this, that I could say that I read many verses and God spoke, but it was just those, it was within those few verses that I kept hearing God telling me, this is what I'm trying to teach today. And the first thing is, of those things that the Lord was showing, there are four things I really felt we need to discuss. And they're going to be just on within a few scriptures. The one is prayer. Here's the thing. Moses held up, when we say he held up his hands, I took that as a symbolism of, one, he's a leader. He's the leader of Israel. Joshua has been given an instruction. He's fighting. But God is saying, Moses is saying, I'm going to go and stand before above, and I'm going to lift up my hands, and I'm going to ask for God to stand on our behalves. He's interceding for Israel. And not only is he's interceding with action. I love this scripture. I love this part of the scripture because it's not about words here. Moses is saying, God, I'm surrendering to your power. As they fight, we need you. Look at that play here. Moses is not the leader. Joshua is not the leader. Joshua is the commander. He's a fighter. Moses is the leader. And the leader is busy at the top of a hill lifting his hands saying, God, God, come for us. We need you. And I read that and I was like, wow. That is a symbol of prayer. That if you think about prayer, there are so many ways prayer comes up in the Bible, but today as we focus on this verse, that's the one way God is showing us prayer. Prayer to him. It's not just about words, talking. Even Jesus said, listen, if you come with many words to God, don't try and impress God. Talk to God. And in this event, Moses is talking to God with his hands. And we all know, because I believe many of us have been Christians here, when you're worshiping God and lifting your hands, you're surrendering to him. You're saying, God, I'm asking you, I'm coming to you, and I'm also submitting to you. I'm surrendering to you. And I really wanted to focus that as one point of prayer. That when we look at prayer, when I'm talking about prayer here, I'm not just saying that prayer in the sense of going to your prayer closet and praying. I mean prayer in terms of worshiping God also. Prayer in terms of surrendering to God. many of us are praying to God, but we're not letting God in. We're talking to God, we're talking at God, not with God. You're not letting God tell you what's bothering you. We're hiding ourselves. We're like, God, you need to do this today. And God's like, wait a minute. Let's first talk about simple issues. Like, where are you? Where are you right now? This is not where you should be in your life. No, God, I need that job. God's like, it's not a job I'm concerned about. It's your soul. And we begin fighting with God, and unfortunately, you begin to miss the prayer walk with God because you're still stuck at that point with God where God's like, until you deal with this, I cannot trust you. Until you let me in, I can't let you go forward. So that's the first point, prayer. The second point is perseverance. Hallelujah. I know we're all blessed and born again people, but when you say perseverance, the church begins to feel, ooh, yeah. But when I was reading this scripture, I was actually even laughing to God about that. I was telling him it's gonna scare them. But when I read, I felt God showing me something. Notice when Moses lifted up his hands, he was seeing a victory. So when Moses was persevering, in this day, he's not persevering because he needs to see something. Unfortunately, many of us are praying because we need to see something. Moses is praying and something is happening. But something else is also taking place. His hands are growing tired. He needs to focus, but it's difficult. He needs to help God finish what God has started, but it's difficult. And the next, in this scripture, when they bring him the stone, when I read that he sat on that stone, I got that picture of Moses saying, I'm not going anywhere. I'm tired. I am physically tired. Because that's what Moses was. He was tired. And it's to encourage any of you here. Maybe you've seen a victory. Maybe you've already seen, you're seeing God answering your prayers. You might already be seeing God answering your prayers. But it's okay, one, if you get tired. It's okay to say, I don't feel like praying, God. Because I've been praying, and I've been praying, and I've been praying. And yes, you are answering the prayer, but for how long must I continue praying for a daily victory? It's okay to get tired. I read this scripture and it's like God was telling me, if Moses grew tired, who are you? Who are you? But I love what Moses said. He grew tired, but he said, we're going to shift things around. When they brought him a stone, he said, I'm sitting. I ain't going nowhere. I'm tired. I don't feel like praying. I'm just going to talk to God then. He's going to keep pushing on. He said, I'm not letting go of this battle. My people need to see a victory. God is using me as an intercessor. They are going to see this victory. So it's okay, church. It's okay. So when I talk about perseverance here, it's not just perseverance in waiting for God to miraculously come. It's perseverance also in, if God is doing something, persevering in letting him finish what he's begun. And I could liken this to many of you in your faiths. Just because you gave your life to Christ many years ago, it's easy to fall by the wayside. But I urge you today, come back. Get back on that horse. Sometimes it gets hard. I will not lie to you. I've been a Christian and I've been born again for a while. Sometimes you really don't want to be. You want to let go. But don't let go. The victory that Christ began in your life many years ago, he wants to see to completion. But he needs you on his side. He needs you. If you've got to sit. You've got to sit on that rock. Sit on that rock, which is Jesus, and say, I ain't going nowhere. I'm here, Jesus. I'm committed to you. My hands are tired, so you're going to bring some people to hold my hands, but I'm not going. We started, and we're going to finish what you started to the glory of your name. And the next point is partnership. Same, and this is the same verse. it's now a different angle. We're going to look at the other people who are there. Aaron and Hur, you know, Moses' boys, we're just going to call them today his boys, the ones who went up with him. I can imagine as Joshua is going to fight, Joshua is one of Moses' men, he's there fighting, so I can see them going up and Moses is like, it's going to be a battle. Yeah, then Aaron and Hur are like, we're going to win, Moses. Moses is like, yeah, God's going to give us a victory, hoo-ah. So, yeah, I can see, you can tell I like watching movies. As Moses' hands are growing tired, there's something powerful about this scripture. Once again, Moses is a leader, a powerful leader being used by God. But I love something about this verse. He's weak, he's tired, but his friends come to his aid and they bring a stone. They act, there's a response. So his friends are able to recognize. So it means he was communicating. I'm tired, guys. I'm tired. But his friends are like, Moses, don't give up. We're going to get you something. We're going to do something. So everyone is like, okay, there's a rock. So they bring a rock and he sits. The next thing is that they come close to him. And I was really meditating and God started showing me this and I was like, yeah, it's actually very interesting. They came close to him. And they didn't just come close to him anywhere. They came close to him to where he was weak. His hands were tired. And the picture I had is that's intimacy. Moses was letting his vulnerabilities out. Guys, I'm tired. And they said, we'll help you. So they came close to him, man. Because if you picture that picture, it's 12, it's midday. We've been standing here for 6 hours. Then two men come here and hold my hands. It's going to be a lot of this close proximity, you know. I just got that picture of Moses then. There's a lot happening in that moment. And I don't know why, but something also about this story tells me that Moses, I think, had been humbled. To be able to let people do that, it requires humility. And I now even recognize why God had selected Moses. This is some of the reasons. He's saying, listen, Aaron and Hur, come help me. I need help. And if you think about it, that's a leader. That's a leader saying, I need help. How much more us? How much more us? And that's why I wanted to just bring the third point about partnership. Prayer, if you really want to see God deeper in prayer, you've got to be ready to partner with others. And when I say partner, I mean in terms of accountability, fellowship, like what we're doing here, small groups, and even discipleship. I want to say something that I've been working with God for not too long. But some of the greatest growths I've had is when I sat under people who literally took chopping me off. Like, Martin, why are you praying like this? This is not the way you should be praying. Because honestly, I was praying my own things. You look at me now, but this is like 5% of Martin's growth in the last. Because God has just been skimming it off. Like, this is good, this is bad. This is good, this is bad. This is good. Yes! No. So you look at me now, you're like, wow, Martin, God's like, yeah, there's been growth. I've prayed many prayers, and I can tell you, like, some of the ones that God has said no, even me later, I was like, wow, my God, you love me, man. You can listen to that prayer. And that's the point, that God is telling us, be ready to partner. Have your personal prayer life, grow in it, persevere. But when the time comes, you need to let other people in. The right people. I just don't mean anyone. The right people. Remember, Aaron and Hur were just not anybody in Israel. These people knew Moses. Aaron probably changed Moses' diapers at one point. I don't know, but he knew Moses. This was his brother. So, partnership. And the final point is present and permanent victory. Verse 13, if we go back to verse 12, it says that his hands were steady until sunset. After partnering with God, Moses' hands were steady until sunset. I don't know about you, but if You've got to hear the imagery in that scripture. His hands were steady. God wants you to be steady until sunset. And sunset is when Jesus comes back home. When the bridegroom comes for his bride. God wants you to be steady. And if you see in the next half, verse 13, Joshua overcame the Amalekites. He overcame. So Moses and Aaron and Hur were successful in helping God finish what he needed to start finish. But the next thing is, verse 14 takes another turn. It's like verse 13, that scene ends. Verse 14, God shows up and says, I want this to be written down. And make sure Moses hears it. I will completely blot out the name of Amalek from under heaven. And I was like, wow. I thought about that and I was like, if you look at verse 8, the story begins with the Amalekites coming to attack Israel. But in verse 14, it changes. God is saying, this enemy of yours, no more. I'm going to blot him out. And the picture I had was God saying, Israel, come here. This is now my enemy. I will. Listen to those words. God is saying, I will blot out. He's taking on the personal initiative. Your enemies, it's me who will vanquish your enemies. And as I was reading that scripture and meditating on that, I began to ask myself, what did Jesus do on the cross? What did Jesus do on the cross? He literally took his righteousness and said, take my righteousness and let me take your sin and let me die. But on the third day, I will be victorious. No more will this bother you. In this scripture, God is showing us his heart, the heart for mankind, that he wants to be our God. And not a God who's seated up high up there somewhere, just not minding about. No, he wants to fight for us. He wants to battle for us. He wants to overcome for us. And that's what I just wanted to go. If you can go to the next scripture, I don't know if it's big enough. The 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. God made him who had no sin to be sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. 2 Corinthians, I believe it's in the next slide, if it's there. 2 Corinthians 15, 54 to 57. God says, when the perishable had been clothed with the imperishable and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of the sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. God wants to fight for us. God wants to fight for us. And if we go to the summary, there's a slide on the summary points. If you look at this journey, over here is victory. Jesus is over there victorious. But if you look at it, if you look at that's point number four, and this is point number one, God is saying, first of all, are you praying to me? If you want to know God in prayer, it's an obvious question. Are you praying? And when I say prayer, I go back to that meaning. Are you letting God in? It's not just words. And I want to be very clear on that. I'm not just talking about prayer, closet prayer. I'm talking, is your life about prayer? It might be your drawing. You might be an artist, and you feel when you draw, you're talking to God. Hey, if that works for you, great. It might be when you're doing your mathematical equations because you love maths. You feel you're doing something God has given you. But the point is God with you in your life? Is prayer part of that? You want to know God? This is what we learn from this scripture. Prayer. Is prayer there? And if you ever get confused, look at how Moses prayed. We don't even hear him saying words. He just lifts his hands up and things start happening. But the next thing is perseverance and partnership. And I want to bring a point. As much as this is point number two, point number three, they were happening at the same time. As he's persevering, he's also partnering. So it's not that you persevere, then you partner. No. These are things you need to do almost at the same time. Persevering and partnering. Persevering in what God has for you and letting God in, and also partnering with others to see a bigger victory. And the final, it's like God is then saying, there's victory at the end of that journey. There's victory. One of the images I had as I conclude when I was really reading about this scripture is that I love Jesus. And one of the images I love about Jesus is, we shared it today in prayer, is Jesus on his white horse as a commander. I'm a guy, so when I see a commander, I say, yeah! Jesus is as a commander, dressed, woo! He's, woo! When he walks in the room, angels are like, yes, sir. When Satan sees Jesus, Satan is just there like, I don't want problems. Yeah? And that's who Jesus is. When he walks into the room, everything obeys down. Everything bows down to him. That's who Jesus is. But here's the funny thing. He's not mean and tough. He's smiling. Jesus smiles. I believe he smiles. I believe in heaven, he's always smiling. I can't wait to meet him. I'm sure he smiles when he meets him. He's always smiling. I know he's smiling because, hey, man, he's victorious. Come on, man, he's victorious. Jesus is like, what are you guys worried about? If I beat him at the grave, I'll beat him again. But the picture I had is that Moses represents us. We're there on the hill. But Jesus takes the place of Joshua. And he's fighting for us. And I felt like God telling me that's the image of the church. That's the image of each of us individually. Jesus wants to advance. He has his heavenly army. And they want to fight the enemy out of your lives. Jesus wants to push the enemy back until the ocean. Until he's no more. But he wants us to lift your hands up, church. Lift your hands to God. Lift him up. Invite God in. Let Jesus win the battle for you. It's not your job to fight. It's your job to seek God and say, God, here I am. See my heart. Fight for me. I'll do what you ask. If you want me to jump, if you want me to sit, if you want me, I'll do it. But fight for me. And I hear Jesus saying, I will. I have and I will continue. I will continue fighting. For me, that picture is so surreal that I see Jesus in my own life, the struggles I've had, the battles, and that's been my story since I gave my life to Christ. Jesus has been driving the enemy every day, driving him and driving him. And here's the funny thing. As Jesus drives the enemy away, I discover treasures in my life. I discover, I could do this. And Jesus is like, you have no idea what the enemy, you're still seeing snippets. There's more ahead, but Martin, there's a journey. We've got to keep pressing. Don't stop praying, my son. Don't stop praying. I'll show you, the victory is coming. The permanent victory. I'm giving you daily victory, but the permanent victory is coming. So keep pressing on. The race is not done till the day Christ returns. So, in conclusions, I just want to finish with Galatians chapter 2. That Jesus says, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Just to encourage you that, like Monica was sharing, even I know I've had battles the last 3 weeks, but it's been a reminder where God has been telling me, Martin, when the enemy attacks you, remember that Galatians, stand on this scripture. I no longer live. I have been crucified with Christ and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. And another thing, prayer is a beautiful journey. It's a beautiful journey with God. But I felt like sometimes the biggest challenge is not even those 4 points I shared. For me in my journey with God, as I've talked with people and seen them prayer, one of the things I see is that they say, people, they don't tell me, but I can hear it. People are afraid of what God is going to tell them when they go into his presence. And sometimes the enemy lies to you, and he did to me. He told me, God will call you into the middle of a desert, and he's going to ask you to serve him there. And I believed him until one day I went to Jesus. Okay, Jesus, I'll go where you told me. Even if you call me to a desert, I'll be there for you. And God was like, thank you, Martin. I don't know who told you you're going to be called to a desert. That's not my plan. In fact, the story went like this. Jesus, after I surrendered to God, God's like, Martin, what's on your heart? And I told God, like a little boy playing with cars, God, this is what I dream. And God said, then that's what we're going to do. That changed my prayer life. I began to understand God's my cheerleader. He's saying, Martin, discover the treasures in your life. Because those treasures, it's me who put them there. When you discover a new treasure and you get so excited in heaven, I get excited. And I tell the angels, see that? Yeah. That's my boy. It's my boy. Yeah. So church, be encouraged. Thank you. I just also want to say thank you to Pastor Barry and Pastor Kim and the elders for this opportunity. And I pray for all of you that my greatest heart desire for you all is to know that prayer can change your life, and it will change your life. I just feel that many times the enemy has wrapped us, all of us, in so many different ideologies of prayer that we miss it's the most simplest thing in the world. So thank you, and I'm done.